The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
And plus the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Simple question. Is Dak overpaid? 123 guaranteed, most money ever in the first 2 years of the contract. The averaging over 40 a year. Four-year deal. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cowboys agree to a four-year, $160 million deal with Dak Prescott. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported. By the way, if you were listening to the Max Kellerman Show yesterday, I told you this is what it was going to be. Even last week, it was pretty obvious. Why was it obvious? This stuff ain't that hard. I mean, this doesn't... He's getting 37 on the franchise tag. That hamstrings their cap space. In order to get some relief, you give him what he wants. He has the leverage now because you waited until the 11th hour. So, 40. And you spread it out over years so you get the cap relief now. That's it. 126 and guaranteed $66 million signing bonus, the highest in NFL history. Boy, imagine all that at once. I'll tell you what, Dak is good. His family's good. His next generation. The deal also includes $75 million due in year one, Schefter reports. The deal is technically for 6 years, but voids in four so as to help Dallas against the salary cap, and it can be worth up to $164 million, according to Schefter. Do you know why there's a salary cap in the NFL? Because Jerry Jones, after he bought the Cowboys, led the charge for a salary cap. And then the day they signed it, signed Deion Sanders. And all the other owners said, wait a minute. You just led the charge for a salary cap. You can't afford Deion Sanders. And Jerry said, oh, no. That's just a signing bonus. I prorate that over this many years, 6 years, eight, whatever it is. So it only counts against the cap like this. See, Jerry Jones manipulated a system he helped invent early before others knew how to manipulate it. And that gave him a leg up. He got Deion Sanders in there, and the Cowboys couldn't be beaten at that point. As soon as that little parlor trick, other people learned it, which was like that day, Jerry Jones never won another Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's players, got Deion Sanders, and then never won again. It's been 25 years, still hasn't won. Does signing Dak Prescott help you win a Super Bowl? No, see, this is the problem with the Cowboys, and this is why Jerry didn't want to sign him right away. Dak Prescott is not great enough. He's a very good quarterback. He's not great yet, if he will ever be great, and you hope he's great one day. But he's very good. But when you sign a quarterback to franchise-level money like that, top-of-the-market money, and this was my problem. I bring up Goff and Wentz because they're all in the same quarterback draft class. Goff went one, Wentz went two, Dak went in the fourth round. But they're often compared to each other because they all succeeded on the professional level, and they're from the same class. Now, when Goff and Wentz signed their deals, I didn't think that was a great idea at the time because Goff had shown, especially without Gurley, he's really needed that play action and everything, and he can't make up for deficiencies on your team. He may not get in the way of success. He's not going to make up for deficiencies. And Wentz was already heading in the wrong direction when they gave him the money. And I understand why teams do it. Either you're a have or a have not. You either have a quarterback or you don't. Rams didn't want to give up Goff. Eagles didn't want to give up Wentz. Cowboys don't want to give up Dak. But when you pay guys like that, you better be sure they're actually elite or going to be elite quarterbacks. Dak Prescott's not elite. He seems to be trending in that direction, but Carson Wentz wasn't trending. Carson Wentz was at one point an elite quarterback for most of one season. Boy, Dak has, in a way, Dak doesn't have any pressure compared to, other guys who sign these deals because the Cowboys aren't ready to win. All Dak's got to do is make sure the offense works. And the offense, even though the line isn't what it used to, the offensive line, the receivers are everywhere. You got a running back, and Dak is good. So they'll score a lot of points. And what's Dak going to say? I can't play defense. I can't coach the team, right? All they got to do is win the NFC East. And right now, the other quarterbacks in the NFC East are who? Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones. You got Hurts, Jones, and Heinicke. Oh, my God. Is that a law firm or is it the quarterbacks of the NFC East? That's who Dak's up against. I mean, Dallas, there is pressure to win the division at this moment unless Washington gets a quarterback. But to win more than that, like, I don't know. Look at Carson Wentz and Indy. They're ready to win now, boy. He's under pressure because his career is on the line for a team that is ready to win. Are the Cowboys ready to win? And if they're not, why'd you pay your quarterback at top of the market? I mean, the answer is you can say they had no choice because they waited this long. But really, the Cowboys either had to sign Dak 18 months ago to a long-term deal at a more reasonable rate than this, or they had to let him walk, which they weren't willing to do. He won this negotiation, no question about it. Here's Mike Tannenbaum on our ESPN NFL front office insider, obviously formerly the Jets GM, on Get Up this morning, talking about how this deals, the fact that it came down to the 11th hour, how it affected the price tag.
Make no mistake about it, by Dallas waiting and paying Zeke Elliott first, cost them, in my opinion, at least $8 million a year. What would have been $32 million 2 years ago turned into $40 million last night.
I thought 32 2 years ago was too high. I thought you paid Dak like an upper-middle-class quarterback. Like, these teams are going to have to discipline themselves eventually. Here's what it is. It's like in the NBA, right? How many guys are really best player on championship team-level guys? Six, five, seven, whatever. It changes year to year. It's not an arbitrary number. It depends on how the quality of the players. Best player on a championship team. Now, once those guys go to those five or six teams or seven teams, they're drafted, they sign somewhere, they get traded. The other teams in the league, 23 other teams, are like, well, we have this cap space, and here's a guy who, he's not the best player on a championship team, but he's an all-star, he's good. We're going to give him a max contract, because otherwise, what kind of a product do we put out there? But once you give that dude a max contract, if you don't have a team that's good enough to attract a guy better than him, you're never going to win a championship. You just put yourself in that situation. But the team would turn around and say, look, there aren't so many guys like that number one guys on a championship team. We got the next best thing. But when you pay the next best thing, because it's a salary cap league, at a certain point, everyone's just going to get the max, right? Who's at a certain level. When you pay a guy like Dak to be a guy like Mahomes, you're hamstringing your team. That's the reality. And let me put it like this. I know at this point the Cowboys botched the negotiation so bad they had no choice. Let me put it like this. This will tell you everything you know. You need to know. First, Raj, my producer in L.A., I'm here in New York. These are the COVID times. Raj, you're a Cowboys fan. How do you feel this morning about Dak signing?
I think Raj left to call our friend CP, the franchise.
Ah, I see.
Because we're having some issues. With
you're a Cowboys fan, Brendan. Oh, how do you feel about the signing?
Well, I'm currently wearing a Dak Prescott jersey because I feel great because he's going to bring us multiple Super Bowls.
Well, you're a delusional Cowboys fan. This is what I thought the answer might be different. Yeah, I'm happy we have a quarterback. But I'm a Giants fan. I'm thrilled that the Cowboys just signed Dak to a $160 million deal. I'm thrilled as a Giants fan. Of course, it's a bad deal for the Cowboys. It's a bad deal because, now look, there's a salary cap, a hard cap in the NFL. You got to rob Peter to pay Paul. Every dollar you give the quarterback's a dollar you can't give someone else. But, the fact of the matter remains that when you pay a guy like Dak as though he's a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you've made a bad deal for yourself because he's not Mahomes. Here's Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin on their eponymous show. You can look that up, Raj. Their eponymous show. Raj, what do you think eponymous means? If I'm saying here's Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin on their eponymous show.
I would say like a cross animal between a possum and a hippo.
Yes, that's actually right. Right. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin on the Cowboys paying for what Dak brings to the table.
Look at what happened to them. They completely fell apart because they lost their leader. This number that they're paying him is not just for his ability on the field, but it's also about his leadership. It's also about the chemistry in the locker room, how the players in the organization feel about him personally. He's the face of the franchise. But with becoming that face of the franchise, there's a lot of responsibility. And that responsibility is bringing the Lombardi Trophy back to Dallas.
Well, I actually disagree with Keyshawn. Not that he's not the face of the franchise, leadership and everything, but they didn't pay him for all that, really. They paid him for the fact that the marketplace in the NFL, everyone's like, well, hey, you're you know, what the market determines your, you know, value, and then you get paid accordingly. But the marketplace in the NFL is not a free market. It's a market constrained by rules designed to transfer wealth from the players to the owners. And once you have those kind of restraints, it warps the marketplace. So you have things like a franchise tag that's been negotiated. A franchise tag is the average of the top five, average annual value of the top five contracts in the league. So, like, on average, you'd figure that means this guy's getting paid like the third best guy at his position. So they were going to franchise Dak or they were going to lose him. Is Dak a top three quarterback? Of course not. He's not the third best quarterback in the league, but he's about to get paid that way. And to avoid that cap hit in 1 year, they're paying him like he's the best or second best quarterback in football. So that can't be a good deal for the team, at least not now. Maybe the cap goes way up and it looks like a good deal years from now, but not at this moment. He's not getting, I mean, yes, Key is right, of course. He's getting paid for his leadership on and off the field and all that stuff and his production. He's a productive player and all that. And he's the kind of guy who makes every group he plays with better. He has some Tom Brady in him that way. Like, those are real things. But the reason he got paid the way he did is because the NFL has a weird kind of free agency contract situation where if you wait till the last second, as this team did with Dak, you can really put yourself in a bind as a team. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN. I know Cowboys fans want to talk about this. 888-SAY-ESPN. So why didn't Jerry get this done 18 months ago? Why do you think he didn't get it done 18 months ago? It's an interesting question. You know, Jerry, and Stephen A. on First Take always points to the Romo contract. We had an interesting conversation about this today on air. But I got to tell you, I think the Romo situation, the fact that Jerry didn't hesitate to pay Romo, is overstated because Romo is not just like another quarterback. Romo is especially charismatic. And at his best, he's better than Dak is now. I mean, I think Dak will wind up better than Romo, but the height of Romo so far, I think, is higher than the height of Dak. But Romo's so charismatic. He gets $17 million a year to talk on television right now. $17 million a year. That's how charismatic Romo is. He's not like kind of just another quarterback. He would, as Stephen A. would say, ingratiate himself to a fan base, to management, everything differently than others. Not to say that he's a better leader than Dak or a better representative of the franchise than Dak or anything like that, but that his effect on people is different. And that includes Jerry Jones. But why wait this long to pay Dak? Number one, he's a fourth round pick, right? So you're like, you don't ever think of him like you do a higher round pick, but Romo also one top draft pick. You know, what is it? Partly, it's because Dak wanted to be paid like an elite quarterback. And while he's very good, he's something less than elite. And I think the Cowboys weren't sure about him. Are we going to pay him like he's great? Look what happened to the Rams with Goff. Look what happened to the Eagles with Wentz. Are we sure we want to pay him like he's great? But they nickel and dimed along the way till they ran out of time. 888-SAY-ESPN. I want to take some calls. Raj, I was talking to you before when you were trying to call CP the franchise. How do you feel as a Cowboys fan this morning?
I feel like Dak Prescott was great as a bargain. Later round pick, we got him, you know, for like rookie minimum almost. That was wonderful. I'm not trying to pay him as the second highest player, you know, quarterback.
So you would let him go? Would you just let him go?
I would have traded him a year or two ago.
Right.
I would have traded him and got picks for him. I would have traded and done something. Or do it 18 months ago when I didn't even want to pay him $32 million. But this is not going to make the Cowboys winners.
This is my
They're
point.
Like a quarterback away
a lot,
winning.
Right. A lot of Cowboys fans right now are unhappy, and a lot of Giants fans like me. I'm happy. I love this deal for the Cowboys because I'm a Giants fan. It tells you everything you need to know. Oh, we have CP the franchise on now? CP waiting on the Knicks Fan TV joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, CP, we got a lot of things to get into, you and I, before we even start talking Knicks. You there? There you are.
Give me a full screen here, control room. Give me a full screen here.
Yeah, CP, by the sudden commercial break. We break at, what, 20 or 21 after? If I go a little long, it's 21. Go check the clock. Ooh. First of all, this is a libelous, a slanderous talk on your part. How dare you concoct and invent?
CP ran to break, folks. After CP the franchise lays a smackdown on Max,
first
and
of
lays shockwaves amongst the sports media landscape.
First
I mean,
of
Max,
all,
I mean,
you. First of all, I was calling you CP the franchise half the time. Were you? Did you know that? Like, I know Max. My name is CP the fan. I'm calling myself CP the franchise.
But, I corrected you at the end, but franchise, I'll take franchise as well, because the franchise is here. The
right.
Sports media
franchise is here. I am now the old established guy. I used to be the renegade upstart. Now I'm the old established guy getting the renegade's name wrong on the radio. That's fine. Listen,
the anti-
you're cutting in and out, CP. What's going on with your sound?
Hang on.
See, the upstart needs better technology. That's the whole thing. I got the whole ESPN thing here. What now? Look, CP.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, CP hopes to keep this up until one day he can sell out like I did. Oh, it's so good, CP. Oh, the money's good. Listen, hold on a second. We need to talk about one thing before we even get into this.
Yeah. Okay.
You were claiming, or one of your fans was claiming, that you ethered me.
Yeah.
First of all, are you aware Jay-Z won that?
Yeah.
Are you aware Jay-Z won that? Or are you going to pretend Nas won that?
See, Hove won the whole battle.
Yeah.
But Ether was Ether in the standalone round.
Nah. Takeover got Ether. That's a common misconception. Common misconception among your generation. Let me tell you the difference, CP. Okay?
I'm going to make the rule.
Huh? No, you're breaking up a lot. What's up with...
Hang on.
What's causing it, Brendan? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, CP. If we talk over each other, it'll cut you off. So go ahead.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Listen, Max, I don't make the rules. If what they say it's Ether, it's Ether. Round one was a KO. No matter if it was Ether, takeover, I took over ESPN. I took over the Max Kellerman show, and I ethered Max Kellerman on his own show. So we could include both. We can lump both of them in. Rest in peace to B.I.G. Next question,
but,
sir.
But that's actually just factually incorrect. I just want to put you up on some game, you young upstart. Right. Jay-Z did tactical precision strikes, and he gave him credit where it was due, making his punchlines hurt more, count more, because he's just being honest, right? Nas just threw everything against the wall to see what would stick. That's why The Takeover was actually a better song than Ether. I'm trying to explain this to your generation.
I'll give Hope the battle. But like I said, Max, I don't make the rules, man.
Yeah. But I do. That's the thing. I make the rules. That's true. You don't make. I make the rules. CP, let's get to the Knicks. Do you think that they can sustain the kind of momentum they built in the first half where they're keeping their heads above 500, staying in the playoff hunt?
It's going to be very tough, man. We start the season off in Milwaukee. Then you go in OKC, a team they lost to, back-to-back in Brooklyn, then Philly. The schedule is going to be a grind. Right now, they're in the fifth seed. I think at worst, they will have that play-in game, 8, 9, 10, and then figure it out from there. But the schedule...
No, guys, it's not me talking over CP that's cutting them out. CP's stuff is just cutting out. Damn, CP. See, this is why you have to sell out. Oh, you get all the good ESPN audio and all that stuff.
Max, I'm telling you, the upstart guys and Knicks fans, he's got a small place back there. He probably has, like, the dial-up connection, so therefore his internet isn't that good. So he's not used to this big-time
the Knicks
TV
are the dial-up
stuff.
Team, so, the Nets are Wi-Fi, the Knicks are dial-up, so it's fitting. Oh, all right, listen, this is what we're going to do. Hold on. We're rescheduling CP this week, Raj. I'm not going to do that. I want to have him on the show for round two. Can we reschedule him?
I will reschedule him. I will also suggest a faster internet speed.
Yes.
And we can do this because he has to know he's not in the basement with the homie. We're not doing that type of show. This is a big time show.
This is the big time, CP.
Max Kellerman.
You got to get your tech up. Oh, we were really going to get into Knicks stuff there. I want to talk some quickly. I want to talk some R.J. Barrett. I want to talk some, obviously, Randall. Everyone wants to talk Randall. By the way, what the Blake, just even the fact that Blake wanted to come to the Nets, not that Blake's necessarily going to do anything, but how Knicks fans feel about that now? See, I used to be able to tell you how a Knicks fan would feel about that because I used to be one of them. And then I sold out and became a Lakers fan, moved to L.A., hosted Afternoon Drive, and was the voice of Lakers Nation. Oh, it's a great thing to be. Lakers, just a happy place to be. Knicks, full of misery. New York, we're going to get back to Dak because CP came on the show, CP the franchise, and to talk Knicks and everything, to go at me. And with his third-rate technology, like me on public access back in the day, completely halted the momentum of the show. Shame on you, CP. Does this mean the NFC East is Dak's to lose now? Do the Giants have a chance? Do the Giants have a chance right now? Can Daniel Jones, last year was supposed to be the development year. It didn't happen. Everyone's pointing to Saquon. Oh, it'll be a lot different with Saquon. It better be different with Saquon. It can't be like it was last year. This is like he has to show development right now. And by the way, Raj, you know, we have CP on. You know who else I want to get on? Someone from Giants Daily, that Twitter handle Giants Daily.
Okay.
They have excellent stuff. I retweeted one of their things today. This Gettleman's driving me crazy. It seems like he's driving them crazy, too. Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hey, New York. Dak and the Cowboys running the NFC East, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Saquon's coming back. What does that mean for Daniel Jones? Oh, I'm so upset about the Giants right now. The thing is, because Gettleman's fortunes are tied to Daniel Jones, he's going to give him every single opportunity. And Daniel Jones may wind up being a good quarterback, maybe. But the evidence so far is not very encouraging. There's reason for hope, but the overall evidence is not very encouraging. So rather than grab a quarterback and try it again with upside in this draft or the next draft, certainly in this draft, the Giants are going to roll with Jones. The best version of Daniel Jones, is he going to wind up a top 10 quarterback even? But they're going to let him play out the whole rookie deal, the whole thing, because Gettleman needs him to succeed. Incentives for front offices in the NFL are perverse. They don't always lead to the front office making the best decision for the franchise. It's the best decision for themselves. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Hey, New York, the Cowboys lock up Dak. What does that mean for the Giants? You worried? The Washington franchise has the best defense, and they're a quarterback away. In fact, I was arguing on First Take today. Russell Wilson should include Washington on his list now that the Cowboys are off the list because they re-signed Dak. But he should add Washington to the list because if Russell Wilson was in Washington, they have some underrated offensive weapons. They have an excellent defense. They're a quarterback away. Russell Wilson on Washington, they're running the division. But he's not. Heinicke's on Washington right now, and he's getting paid backup quarterback money for a reason. He's a backup quarterback. So Washington has the defense. The Cowboys have the offense and the quarterback. The Giants have a guy they hope is going to be a quarterback and an improving defense. Still not much of an offensive line after all these years. They just can't get it right. And the Eagles are hoping Hurts works out. Boy, it's a sad sack division. Andy in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Hope you're well today, first-time caller. Regarding the Dak Prescott situation, I'm kind of on the same line as you and the other callers. I don't think the Cowboys are a quarterback away, and I think he's getting paid. I think he's just being overpaid. I mean, he's not even, in my opinion, a top five, maybe top seven quarterback. I mean, you have your
I would say it's
Brady,
top ten.
Mahomes,
I'd say yeah. he's top ten. Brady, yeah. Mahomes, well, it's Mahomes and then whoever else, but like Brady, Mahomes, and Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson is five. And then you're looking at who else is there. Well, I would say Josh Allen right now is better than Dak Prescott. Although, it's an interesting comparison. Who would you want long-term? I don't know. I think Josh Allen has more talent. I think that Justin Herbert is going to be better than both Josh Allen and Dak Prescott. So if you just put them all together, then who would you want? To me, Dak is at best sixth, maybe seventh out of the guys I just mentioned. What about Lamar Jackson? So far, he's had a better career than Dak Prescott. He's been more valuable than Dak. Now, whether Deshaun can pass well, and I'm sorry, Lamar can pass well enough. You know what? Give Lamar Jackson Dak Prescott's weapons and see what happens. My anticipation would be he'd be better than Prescott without question. But anyway, I think he probably is better. That makes Dak really eighth on my list. And just start thinking of quarterbacks. Let's see what Matthew Stafford looks like in L.A. Right? Let's see what he looks like with a real squad in a winning culture. He could mess around and win the Super Bowl. Or maybe Stafford's just not a winning player. We'll see. But there's a good chance we'd rate him ahead of Dak by the end of this year. Is Dak better than Derek Carr for sure? Are we sure he's better than Carr? I think he is, but are we sure? Dak's better than Baker. I'd take him over Baker. Who would you take, Dak or Joe Burrow, going forward? I might take Joe Burrow going forward. Joe Burrow looked like a star to me right away and was obviously a much better college player. But at this moment, you can't argue Dak top five. You can argue him top 10 easily. But you could even make the argument that in terms of guys you'd want as your quarterback, just outside the top 10. And now when you figure in the contract, Trevor Lawrence going to be on a rookie deal. Zach Wilson going to be on a rookie deal. Justin Fields going to be on a rookie deal. You might take all three of those guys. Never mind Trey Lance long term. Justin Herbert's on his rookie deal. Josh Allen hasn't been paid yet. Patrick Mahomes on a team-friendly deal. Deshaun Watson's getting 160, but he's better than Dak. When you start factoring in salary, is Dak top 15 right now? D in Queens, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I want to know. Based on the background of the owners, especially Jerry Jones, is all this quarterback shuffle because all the quarterbacks, at least a lot of them coming up, are going to be black.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how come the concussion settlement and the racist way they're trying to distribute the funds is not being talked about more?
Well, okay, first, you said a lot. I don't know if we can deal with all of it right now. Let's talk about Dak. And you're talking about how race plays a role. I talked about this on First Take today. It's a fair question to ask because the history of sports is, and let's take the NFL for example. Lots of black players in the NFL, lots of African-American players, all kinds of positions for a lot of years. Why was there essentially a color line drawn for the quarterback position? Why was Warren Moon, they tried to turn him into a wide receiver? Why did Warren Moon tell me on this show, how long ago? Not even a month ago? That he would run slower than he could, so guys wouldn't try to switch positions on him. Why no black coaches or very few African-American coaches? Why the coach and the quarterback position? Same reason there was such a reaction to Barack Obama in this country and birtherism lies and stuff and propaganda. It's one thing to participate. It's another thing to lead, to be seen as the face of, to be in a position of authority. And a lot of white people have a problem when a black person is in that position. In fact, I told a story, and it's not just a white-black issue. I told a story about someone who I know whose father was a star athlete. I won't say what city. I won't say what sport. I don't want to start narrowing it down. But this guy's a smart guy. And and his father voted for someone who was the opposite of responsible and upright and all the things that his father had taught him, the values his father had tried to impart upon him, and the kind of lessons that his father learned in sports and tried to to instill in him the values. And he said, Dad, how could you vote for this person? They're the opposite of everything you've ever told me to be. And he said his father gave him some like double talk. But he said, Max, the reason was that the person was running against a woman. And he believes his father couldn't handle the idea of a woman as the boss, right? Psycho emotionally, you can't overcome it. I think a lot of people, especially white billionaires, who are almost exclusively, the NFL at the ownership level is a white billionaire club, almost exclusively, and there are no African Americans. The idea that those people who don't have to listen to a whole bunch of people who call the shots put a black man in this case in a position of head coach or quarterback, it's whether or not they even always realize it, that is difficult for them. That's my analysis. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And to complete that thought, who do they wind up hurting when they just can't bring themselves to sign the contract? Themselves, because in the end, you're going to pay the best guy for the job, right? And if that's a black quarterback, then the fact that you couldn't, I'm not saying this applies to Jerry Jones, but to whomever this applies to, the fact that you couldn't bring yourself to do it, you just cost yourself money. As usual, racism or misogyny or any kind of bias against, you know, that interferes with the meritocracy, instead of just it being based on the person's merit, when it's based on anything other than that, you only hurt yourself. Jets just used their franchise tag. Should they still be in the market for Russell Wilson? 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. The story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans, as told by those who lived the events of that day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci. March 11th, 2020 will tell the story of a day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Jets still in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. All guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So Jets placed the franchise tag on safety Marcus May, according to Adam Schefter. Franchise tag amount for a safety is an estimated $10.5 million, which would be May's 2021 guaranteed salary if the two sides can't reach a long-term agreement by July 15th. And by the way, the Giants just tweeted that they placed the franchise tag on Leonard Williams. But if you follow, which I do, if you follow Giants Daily on Twitter, at NYG Daily, traded a third-round pick for Leonard Williams because they wanted to see him in a system where the coaching staff was fired. They were forced to tag him last year because of it. He had a career year. They're forced to tag him again. Giants have no leverage. If the Giants had just aggressively pursued Leonard Williams with free agency after the 19 season instead of trading a draft pick for him, they could have gotten him a lot cheaper, 12 to 15 a year instead of 19 to 20 per year that it's going to cost them now. The Giants assigned Leonard Williams to a long-term deal prior to this year. They could have used the tag on Dalvin Tomlinson this year. Safe to say handling of the Leonard Williams situation might have cost the Giants another really good player in Tomlinson. Boy, Gettleman just makes shrewd move after shrewd move, doesn't he? Anyway, Joe Douglas franchises May for the Jets. Are they still in the market for a quarterback? Russell Wilson? See the letter that the Seahawks sent to their fans? No mention of Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson didn't include the Jets on his list of teams. And in fact, if I were to expand my list of teams, if I were Russell Wilson, I would expand it to Washington. What about Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson apparently would be interested in the Jets. I don't know why. I mean, it's a big media market, but the Jets aren't any good, and they'd have to give up a lot of draft capital in order to get Deshaun Watson. I think the best bet for the Jets, in fact, is to trade Sam Darnold for more draft capital And if they love Zach Wilson, draft him. But if they think that Justin Fields or Trey Lance or someone else is more or less Zach Wilson, trade back in the draft for even more draft capital. You got how many? Four first-round picks in the next this year and next. You pick up some more. You wind up with your quarterback and your whole team if you don't screw it up. You got a real head coach now, at least. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Mike in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, what's happening? You just hit me with a bomb because I'm a big Jets fan. But I was going to talk about Dak. I believe back in the day when they had a guy named, what, Aikman, and they had Emmitt Smith in back, I think when they won those Super Bowls, there was some kind of offensive line. I think teams are going a little crazy here with the quarterbacks. I understand, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Russell Wilson and stuff like that. What about the offensive line? Now, if you got a good, really good offensive line, and you put Fitzpatrick back there, just say, just for a couple of years, he still can sling the ball. You have a Cooper on the outside. You paid way too much money for your running back. That's another problem. But
no doubt about it. But let me address what you're saying about defense. The O-line. The Cowboys were the one team more than any other that put their money where their mouth was in the draft on the O-line. And that's why they had this mighty offense they've had recently. They spent, I want to say, if I'm remembering this correctly, in five drafts, they spent four first-round picks on offensive linemen. I believe that's right. I'm remembering this from, you know, four first-round picks. So they had an all-world offensive line. Now, they've been supplementing it quietly in the second and third round. But if that line doesn't get healthy and some guys are retired and some guys are gone, Dak won't be the same either. How did Jerry blow this? Let me count the ways. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.